From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I want to return one more time to the resource of the month on this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. By now, if you've been tuned in, you've heard about this series of sermons encapsulated in a book titled On Wealth and Poverty by St. John Chrysostom. I was privileged to write the foreword. And though St. John is speaking a mere 3.5 centuries after the death of Christ, his sermons read as though they are spoken on the contemporary stage of history. And as I say in my foreword, if contrast is the conduit to clarity, and it most certainly is, then the contrast between the sermons of contemporary prosperity preachers and those unveiled in this book could not be starker. For the modern prosperity peddler, Christ is a mere means to our ends. Multitudes are called to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. And so the glory of the cross is transposed to the glory of consumerism, the commodification of the divine, the fresh new face of baptized humanistic psychology. Transformation through the recital of mantras, hardly, by the renewing of our minds. But not so the sermons of St. John Chrysostom. His are not feel-good sermons for a feel-good generation. Rather, they are sermons laden with truths that transform. St. John's words thunder from the past with prophetic urgency. For the righteous, both the life hereafter and this life provide great pleasure. But the wicked and the greedy are punished both here and hereafter. I find it so interesting, profound, that in the midst of St. John's preaching, again, this is in the 4th century, his sermon series was actually interrupted by an earthquake. That earthquake, says St. John, manifested the power of God. Its cessation showed his mercy. One moment of time, and everything was torn apart more easily than a spider's web. Everything was instantly shattered. Sort of reminds us of the current condition of the world, a world in which we are rocked by pandemic and unrest, a world which reminds us of just how tenuous life is. How long does money really last? How long does wealth? How long the frenzied quest for pleasure in material things? When the earthquake came in the 4th century, how did wealth help those buried beneath the rubble? The labor of both rich and poor was shattered. The possession perished along with the possessor, the house along with the builder. The city became a common tomb, a tomb not constructed by the hands of craftsmen, but prepared by the disaster itself. Everything slighter than a spider's web. You can take one hand and remove a spider's web, and so all of our prosperity can be expunged in a moment. Perhaps we should not fear the earthquake, or in today's world, the pandemic, but rather we ought to fear the cause of both. We ought to reverence God. Do not fear the earthquake. Fear the cause of the earthquake. Do not fear the pandemic. Fear the cause of the pandemic. Fear the anger of God on account of our sins. Never fear the punishment, but fear the mother of punishment. Because when we rightly fear the maker of heaven and earth, we are led from the wide road and seek entrance to the narrow gate. Our Master is loving. Our Master is filled with compassion. He knows the weakness of our nature, and He seeks only one thing, that we might leave the way of transgression and enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And as our Lord so profoundly said, many are those that enter that gate. Now Christ, of course, is not speaking of a visible gate, nor simply of a road, but He is using such metaphors as a means by which to advise us concerning matters of virtue and matters of wickedness. The narrow gate is the gate of virtue. And yet, to enter the narrow gate requires much effort. The wide gate, by contrast, is very easy to enter. It is the way of health and wealth. Health and wealth in this life, but pain and poverty in the life that is to come. It's a gate that entices, but further along the path is fraught with peril. It's a way that ultimately leads to destruction. And Christ here is doing us such a great service. He is setting before us a rich man who walks along the wide road and a poor man who entered by the narrow gate. And in the process, He makes it clear how each journey ends. The rich man who entered by the wide gate, who walked along the easy road, who walked along the path of luxury, of licentiousness, of laughter, of lavishness, but gave no thought to the perpetual anguish that spells its end. Prosperity, as it were, blinded the eye of his soul. Though flatterers and parasites lauded his life as fortuitous, no one who heeds the words of our Lord would dare to call him fortunate. When we come back from the break, I want to talk more about the greatness of this parable, the fact that it can lead us to an eternity of pleasure. I mean, there is no greater pleasure than an eternity with the Lord. Never forget that in eternity, we will learn and grow and develop, albeit without error. We will forever explore a recreated universe, a universe in which there will be no pandemics, a universe in which there will be no earthquakes, a universe in which we will know how to love as we were created to love. A universe without another fall. A universe in which we will be made righteous from one glory to another. In other words, we will continue to grow in righteousness. A path in which we will explore the glory of our great God. Again, when I come back from the break, I want to talk about the juxtaposition between the rich man and Lazarus. And as we go to break, I do pray that I in some way am whetting your appetite to get this incredible resource. It's titled On Wealth and Poverty, and it is available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Stay tuned, and please don't touch that dial.
John Chrysostom's Christian classic On Wealth and Poverty is full of timeless truth. To absorb its message is to be eternally transformed. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, and those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom, reflects the ultimate reality of our inner state, revealing whether we are of Christ or whether we are not. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
John Chrysostom's Christian classic, On Wealth and Poverty, is an exposition of Christ's parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The contrast between modern prosperity preachers and Chrysostom could not be starker. For the prosperity preacher, Christ is a means to our ends, leading many to the Master's table, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on his table. The glory of the cross exchanged for the glory of consumerism, a crude commodification of the cross. On Wealth and Poverty is not a feel-good book for a feel-good generation. It is a message filled with truths that transform, thundering from the past with prophetic urgency for the present. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking about Christ's poignant parable on the rich man and Lazarus, of course, I'm talking about this parable because St. John Chrysostom did six sermons on this parable encapsulated in a book titled On Wealth and Poverty. It is available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Before the break, I mentioned that the rich man entered the wide gate. He walked along the easy road. He gave no thought to the perpetual anguish that spells its end. Prosperity, as it were, blinded the eye of his soul. No one who heeds the words of our Lord would dare call him fortunate. In truth, it is Lazarus whom we must consider fortunate. He entered the narrow gate. He traveled the road of tribulation. He walked the narrow road not because of his pain and poverty, but because of his patient endurance in the midst of trial and travail. And as our dear Lord made clear, at the end of both roads, there is fixed a great chasm. A great chasm in order that those who would pass from one road to the other are not able. On one side of the chasm is Abraham's bosom. It is the place of paradise. On the other is abject torment. Wealth in this life will be good for its possessor if it is not spent only on luxury and harmful pleasures, but rather if it is spent in moderation, so that the excess may go to those who are in poverty, poverty both physically and spiritually. If such is the case, then wealth is a good thing. I've said it before, and it bears repeating. A rich man can help a poor man, but a poor man can scarcely help another who is poor. But if the rich give themselves up only to luxury, their end is a very deep pit. And therefore the patriarch says to the rich man, remember that in your life you received the good things due to you, and Lazarus likewise the evil things. Not that Lazarus thought that what he received in this life was evil, but rather that they were evil according to the rich man's judgment. You see, the rich man saw only the beginning of the road, but Lazarus looked toward its end. For this reason, he is now comforted, while the rich man is in agony. Lazarus bore everything he endured with great patience and even with thanksgiving. And now he is forever enrolled in the chorus of the righteous. Note again that our Lord does not speak simply of a chasm, but he identifies it as a great chasm. Why? Because there is a great distance between virtue and evil. Do you see the greatness of this chasm? The value of our resource of the month is indeed great. To read and to reread this resource is to alter the course of your life, to change your perspective from seeking that which is wide and easy to flee that which befell the rich man, not just for a moment, but for all eternity. To pay heed to the parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 16 is to enter the narrow gate. so that after a short road of tribulation, we may reach the place of comfort, to enjoy those ineffable good things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which has not so much as entered into our minds. It is the prayer of St. John Chrysostom, who has long since entered paradise, that all who hear these words may experience Abraham's bosom, and do so by the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the resource of the month, On Wealth and Poverty by St. John Chrysostom, available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. It is an inexorable truth that hell is real. Christ, the creator of the cosmos, clearly communicated hell's irrevocable reality. And of course, the concept of choice absolutely demands that we believe in hell. Hell, said G.K. Chesterton, is God's complement to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human choice. Common sense dictates that there must be a hell, because without hell, the wrongs of the rich man will never be righted. Little needs to be said about the absurdity of suggesting that the creator of the cosmos would suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity if there is no hell to save us from. Without hell, there's no need for salvation. Without salvation, there's no need for sacrifice. And without sacrifice, there's no need for a Savior. It would be a horrific evil to think that God would create human beings with freedom of choice and then capriciously annihilate some of them because of their choices. Far be this from God. God will continue to sustain even the rich man in eternity, albeit in a life that he desired apart from his goodness, his glory, and his grace. The unified testimony of Scripture is that God is perfectly just and will reward and punish each person in accordance with what he or she has done. The Bible is clear that with greater revelation and responsibility comes stricter judgment. Jesus warned the Pharisees that they would be punished more severely for their willful hypocrisy. The canon of Scripture ratifies the common sense notion that not all sins are created equal. Just as Judas's sin was greater than that of Pilate, so it stands to reason that murdering someone created in the image of God is a far greater sin than merely thinking a murderous thought. God is perfectly just, and each person who spurns his grace will suffer exactly what he or she deserves. Thus again, it is of critical importance that we focus our attention on what we can do in this life, because what we can do in this life has an impact on the life that lasts for all eternity. Again, when I ask you to stand with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, we are talking about a battle that ends up in a victory and a reward which will never end. Well, we've come to an end of this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This is the last message I'm going to devote, at least for quite a while, to this incredible resource, but I do hope and pray that you will access a copy, not only for yourself, but for a family member or a friend, and then perhaps use it as a Bible study. I don't know. I've read it over and over again, and I can never exhaust its riches, and I'm certain that you will never exhaust its riches either. Your copy available on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And thanks again for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The beauty of the Christian classic on wealth and poverty is that by absorbing its message, you may well arrive at a true valuation of things. It is a pearl of greatest value in the treasure chest of Christian teachings. Those who absorb its message will be eternally transformed, assured that whatever your status in this life, rich or poor, you will experience the quintessence of wealth in the life that is to come. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty by John Chrysostom, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
In John Chrysostom's Christian classic On Wealth and Poverty, the words of Christ take center stage. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. As you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. On Wealth and Poverty is full of timeless truth, and to absorb its message is to be eternally transformed. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, and those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom, reflects the ultimate reality of our inner state, revealing whether we are of Christ or whether we are not. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.